Here's our point tonight. Here's our topic tonight. Hey, people were created to move. That was very clear to me yesterday. People are created to move. You are created to move. The reason you're at this campus is because you are preparing yourself to do something, to go somewhere, to be a doctor, to help people, to be a teacher, to invest in people, to make some money, to build a business, to do stuff, to be something, to go somewhere. You guys are here on this earth to move. You're intended to do. And as you go through this life, I am hoping, and I think you are too, that the purpose of your life is to expand in that, that your influence would grow, that the things you're invested in are going to continue to multiply out, and you'll begin to help other people move. That is the purpose of our life. We are created to move. That is what we're going to talk about tonight, because I think the reality is for many of us is that we're not moving. And we know it. And we might be comfortable with it. So tonight's our third part in our series of being set free. In the first 2 weeks, we talked about things that you don't necessarily have much to say about. Jesus had a way, we looked last week, of jumping into people. There's a whole chapter, Matthew chapter 8, there was a series of people that he healed. Leprosy, people that were blind, people that had demon possession, things within them that they couldn't control. And that's why the name of this series is Set Free, not Breaking Free. This isn't a self-help thing. It's about what Jesus has to do in us that we can't do for ourselves. Tonight's a little different. The same concept is there. It's something Jesus has to do in you. But the reality is that this tonight's topic is everything to do with what you've done to yourself. Tonight's topic really has to do with this topic of sin. Sin is the thing that's the great enabler. It's the thing that creates a paralysis within you. It's the thing that we get comfortable with and we don't move away from. Sin keeps us from moving. Our text tonight is in Mark chapter 2. And just like last week, the previous chapter is full of these encounters with Jesus, meeting people where they were at, freeing them. And there was this reputation that Jesus had of being this freer, this person that's going to do a miracle. He's going to take crippled people and he's going to make them walk. He's going to take blind people. He's going to make them see. And this is his reputation. And that's where we come. Right after that, it says a few days later, and this is what happens. So let's take a look, and we'll read this together. In Mark chapter 2, it says a few days later. See, I told you, I wasn't lying. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Next, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Next. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Next. "Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man that your sins are forgiven, or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let's pray. Jesus, tonight's a tough topic, a deep topic, a needed topic. I am asking for your Spirit to come into this place. I'm asking for your Spirit to speak through me. I'm asking for your Spirit to tune our ears to listen to the message you have for us through this word. We trust that your Spirit will do it. There's way too much at stake. There's too many opportunities around the corner. There's too much for us to be doing and living for and being a part of for us to let this truth pass us by tonight. So we're asking that you would just be present. And that you would speak clearly. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Can we go back to that first slide?
It says here that when Jesus again entered Capernaum, people heard that he had come home.
He had come home.
What's home like for you?
I mean, seriously, you guys just came here.
Some of you are from the town, so it's a hard for you. But the people who are not really moving on with their life, those friends of yours that said,
no, I think I'm going to take a year off, whatever that means.
And they think that they're going to work, but they're not really working, and they're not really going to school. But they are doing a lot of time in their parents' basement playing video games. You know those people?
I kind of wonder
with Jesus' reputation, at the height of his popularity, as he's walking around, as he's moving around, and people know that he's doing all of these awesome things, it's interesting that these people were home. And that they were excited that he was coming home. Do you know what we do at home? I think you do. We end up getting excited about the world. We don't want to really move. We would just as soon sit and we'd like to watch a YouTube video that would kind of make us feel like we're experiencing the other side of the world. It would make us feel like we actually are moving when we're really not moving. We want to be entertained. Ultimately, people that don't move want to be entertained. And I just kind of wonder if this might be the setting that Jesus is walking into as he comes into Capernaum, as he comes to this place at home. And their version of seeing something without having to move is at least just walking down the street and entering into this house. And it says that there's more people coming and converging on this house than that they can even fit. There's a crowd even outside the door. People can't even work their way in. And Jesus, I think, attuned to this whole scene, understands something. He understands that people were created to move. And these people, many of these people, are not moving because they are comfortable with their sin. I wonder what he would think about this crowd. I wonder if he would see the same thing he saw when he saw this crowd that gathered in this home. Are we comfortable with our own sin? I mean, so comfortable that we're not moving, that kind of comfort. Where you used to have dreams and you used to have aspirations and you used to go out and you used to be with other people and you used to do more things with people, but this pet sin has become such a comfort to you that you're just like, yeah, the rest of you can go out. I think I'll stay in tonight. I'm comfortable here, not there. I wonder how true that would be about our crowd tonight. A bigger tragedy is, what might you be sacrificing 5 years down the road? What family might you be sacrificing because of the things you're choosing now to keep you from moving? Jesus has a way of hitting people right where they're at. And he has a way of using these illustrations that come right into his lap. This literally came from the ceiling down into the room. And it was a metaphor, I think, of what everyone else in the whole place was feeling. These four dudes picked up a paralyzed guy on the side of the road, and they lowered him down on his mat before Jesus. Entertainment. Let's see what he can do here. Let's watch this guy that we've walked by for our whole lives actually get healed. This would be a good one. And so this guy is lowered before them. Before we go there, we've got to back up. We have got to do justice to what this paralyzed man was feeling, what he was like, what life must have been like for this paralyzed dude. To be paralyzed, think about how frustrating it would be. You are stuck on a mat. Your whole life is a mat. You see people in the morning coming from this direction, going that direction. You see people in the afternoon going from here and going to there. You see people going to places called work. You see people going to places called school. You don't know what any of those things are. You're wondering for yourself, what does it look like to go? What does it look like to move? What does it look like to be somewhere else? And I even wonder what it would look like. I think it's possible that he probably was camped right across the road from maybe a little half wall, and he could just barely not see over the top of it. Not able to see what was over there, not even able to stand. And I would think early on that must have been frustrating to him, but as time went on, probably just became comfortable with the fact that this is my plot, this is my life, this is where I am. And my guess is that he probably knew more about that mat than anybody walking by. I would guess a lot of people wouldn't even notice that mat. But he would know every little intricate part of that mat. He'd know the back end of that mat and how it kind of rolled up a little bit because he had kind of curved it up a bit so that the water wouldn't go over top of it. He'd know that. He'd know how the front of his mat was matted down because people walked on it a little bit with the front of their sandals because they're giving him some cash, some pity money. He'd know that front end of his mat. He'd know the roughness underneath it and how it sat on the rocks and over time it's weathered and there was different spots where it was poking through. But I guarantee you that if people actually sat on the mat with him, there would be things they would notice about the mat that he doesn't notice about the mat. Namely, the smell. As a stranger coming to this place, you'd be like, dude, that reeks. And he'd be like, really? Kind of used to it. There'd be a mixture of mud and saliva and food and urine. And this mat that's just nasty is a comfort to him. And maybe even in the middle there's just like this nice curved out thing like at my bed at home. It's like, you know, they have those really nice formed beds that I hate because you just like, it's like your body shape. You get up and you're like, that's me, like laying there in my bed. What is that? Each of you that came in got a cloth. Some are white, some are black. Does that mean anything? That means they're random black. All right. But what I'd like you to do for the rest of our talk tonight is I'd like you to hold it. I'd like you to get uncomfortably familiar with the familiarity, I guess, of your sin. You know the thing that you know about your mat? You know the certain edges and the certain patterns? You know the routines, the times of the week, the times of the morning, the times of the evening. Pattern, patterns of certain people that are in your life that kind of create and pull this stuff out.
The familiarity of when you actually get stressed out and you have tension or there's problems at home or those kinds of things. And you just know that you end up kind of going back to this cloth. And there's parts of it that mean certain things to you. And out of all the things in all the world that you know more than anything else is you know this stinking, crappy mat. It's yours.
And there's a familiarity to it that you kind of like, but there's a part of it that you just would just as soon let it go forever. And the reality is that some of you have let this go many, 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 many times, or tried to at least, and it just kind of keeps coming back, and you just kind of can't get rid of it for good. And so you're just like, what the heck? I guess I'm just going to absorb it and embrace it and make it mine. I'd like us to be freed from this tonight. I'd like you to move. I'd like you to be free to be someone that can stand and walk and not let this define you anymore. I think God's got amazing things for you, and I'm going to steal Ben's line before. I think you're going to change the world. I don't stand here because this is not about youth group stuff for me. This is so much bigger. I think God's got amazing plans for each of you that you don't even know yet, that I can't wait to see as they become fuller and more aware to you as you grow, that you are going to be life changers. You're going to be world changers. But you right now, you need to give this up so that you can actually move. You were created to move. And Satan, his great ploy is to just make you so comfortable with this that you don't even know what you're missing. Man, I want you to be free. Jesus wants you to be free. And I know there's patterns, and I know that it's hard, and I know it's hard to break free, but this is what he wants for you. So let's go back to the story. This man, he's been on his mat. These guys are like, this would be a great show. So they pick him up. They just leave him on the mat. Just leave him on the mat. Easy to carry him. And they drop him down right before Jesus. And Jesus looks at him, and everybody there, full of anticipation and wanting to be entertained, they can't wait for the next words from Jesus. They can't wait to see this guy stand up and walk. And Jesus lets them all down. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. Really? That's all we got? And as a matter of fact, people are so passive that the most... Can you think of a more passive argument or rebuttal than it says some of them were thinking something? Did you guys remember that? Let's go to that next slide where it says that. Yeah, right here. He knew in his spirit what they were thinking. It says, I'll just read it. Some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And God ramps up the entertainment just a little bit because he just turns in the middle of that whole little conversation in their head and he speaks out loud and he says, why were you thinking these things? And everyone's like, ooh. Show's getting a little better. He says, what's easier? I got two questions for what's easier. Is it easier for me to just say, get up and walk? Or is it easier for me to say, son, your sins are forgiven? Because I can do both. And you came here expecting one. And you wouldn't have thought a thing of it. But I really have something to address to all of you. Because the show isn't about this person. The show here today is about addressing you. And it's addressing your paralysis. And it's addressing the fact that you have a mat. And it's addressing the fact that you are very comfortable with wherever you're at. And Jesus wants you to know that this story here is penetrating even through. It's cutting through 2,000 years to meet you where you're at today. I think Jesus is here talking to you tonight as well. And he said, in order to show you that I do indeed have the power to forgive sins, let me tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And he does. And I think there's something symbolic about this man getting up, not leaving his mat. But the thing that has been dominating him, he actually has the power now to pick it up and walk out in full view of them all. And it just was the most amazing thing that anyone there had ever seen. Have you ever seen somebody who truly gave up their sin? Who received forgiveness in such a deep way that you said it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen? Have you ever seen that? Well, I pray that you get to see that. I pray that you get to see that in your own life. I got a person that I got to see that in. And I want to tell you that story as we're close tonight. Don't let this go as I tell you this story. It was about 7 or 8 years ago, a friend from town, older guy. It's a guy I've known for about 20 years. When I first met him, he was so scared of people that he lives by himself. He's scared to do anything. He's scared to drive. Didn't know how to drive in his 40s. Scared to shop. I would take him shopping. Intimidated at work. Intimidated to get a job. Intimidated to keep a job. Thinking that people are always talking about him. Always looking around. Very skittish. Very scared. He's a hermit, really. He lived by himself. And this was just who he was, and I didn't really know why, but my wife often would say, when I see him, I see a three-year-old little boy cowering in a closet. And I don't think she's too far off. I don't think he had a great upbringing, but I never knew a lot of the details of what made him who he was. All I knew was what I saw. There's no confidence in this person at all. To the point where I would just ask him, can you start to drill more? And didn't know how. Show him how. Still didn't know how. And one day he gave me a call. This is the fall. He's busy. A lot of stuff happening here. And he said, Pete, I got to talk to you. I said, all right. I want to come right over. It's Kansas house. No. I can't. But I have to tell you at the campus house. We'll shut the door. No. All right. I'll come to your house. Okay. That'd be better. So I go to his house and ring his doorbell. I walk in. So what do you got? I can't tell you here. Dude, you live by yourself. I can't tell you here. So we get in the car, and I drive a couple blocks, and I put it in park, and, all right, what do you got for me? Still kind of close to home. Can we go a little further? Yep. So I drive a couple more blocks, put it in park, and I sit back in my chair, and I just wait. And he starts to shake. His voice starts to shake. You ever been with somebody that's trying to say something and they just don't want to, but they know they have to? And he starts to shake and he starts to quiver and he starts to confess a sin that he had committed 25 years ago. He said, I've never told anybody this. I've been living with this for the last 25 years. Every time I Every time I try to go to work, he says, the sin follows me. Every time I go home and I close the door and I'm living by my freaking self, this is the kind of thing that haunts me. And he said, I can't go to bed without thinking about this sin. And I've had it for 25 years and I need to tell somebody about my sin. And he tells it to me and he starts weeping, 40 some years old. And I don't know what else to say. Except put my hand on his shoulder and I say, your sins are forgiven. And he starts to weep even harder. And a miracle began in him at that point. Now, he's far from perfect and there's lots of issues still going on with him. But I'll tell you what started in him in that moment. He started to become alive. I've never seen this quite as dramatic as I had in his life. Because this person was so scared of everything. He walked around kind of like this, like he didn't notice things, didn't see things, wasn't aware of things, just scared. And a few weeks go by and he comes into my office and he's like, dude, these girls on campus aren't wearing hardly anything. And I was like, you haven't really noticed that before, have you? No. And it was like he was a teenager all of a sudden. Like he was going through teenage years at 46 years old. And you laugh, but it's true. Like that really was happening. And he came to me one day and he says, I think I want to learn how to drive. So I helped him drive. I'm not sure if it was a good idea or not, but I helped him. Here's what I know about this group tonight. I know you're in one of two categories. I know that you're either in one category where you just have given this up to the Lord so many times before. And you've received that big work that we've been talking about in this Set Free series, that big work that God does, and then we have these little responses to kind of keep that big work alive. It's called the gospel. And that big work has happened in you to a point, but you're just having a hard time shaking something. Just stuck to you. You're stuck to this mat. Let me give you just a little for you, if that's you. This is my advice. Welcome to the world that is just the world, and there's gonna be sin. But the more we focus on trying to get perfect, the more we focus on trying to take care of this thing that we're stuck to, the more we're consumed. Well, maybe we should go at it from that angle. Maybe we should talk about it at this angle. Maybe I should knock 9 people into this. And maybe we should just move. Maybe we should walk. Maybe we should do what we were created to do. And when this kind of comes up, we need to just say, God, thank you for giving me for the 477th time. Your grace is that big. Unbelievable. I'm going to keep walking now. And God's going to be like, that's my son. That's my daughter. Keep moving, keep walking. And you're hearing about miracles of people that can, this is just gone for them. Maybe that's true for them. And maybe I know God's big enough to possibly do that. It's not true for me, I'll just tell you. I've got sin. I got things that reoccur. I got things I have a hard time shaking. And for me, I just keep moving. And I'll stumble and I'll fall and I'll get back up and I'll say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I don't want this anymore. I'm going to give it to you again. I'm going to keep walking. And it's just a pattern I have to be in. It's a pattern I've been in for the rest of my whole life. I'm in a pattern I might be in for a lot longer. He might take it for good. I don't know. But I know he's done a big work in me. And I'm going to trust that and I'm going to move. Because God created me to move. There might be some of you here that you've just never, ever, ever received that big grace, that big work of Jesus. And if that's you, I just want you to know it can happen in a moment. It can happen tonight. Jesus has a way of just saying, hey, let me just take the big burden of paralysis from you and let me do a miracle in you. He can do that tonight. You'd ask him for that. He can do that. He says, I want you to follow through with a surrender of baptism. This is not a work of baptism. It's a surrender. And he just takes it, and you get to see that tonight with Ed. It's going to be amazing. And some of you might need to just receive words from one other person that you know is a believer in Jesus that just tells you, after you maybe confess it out loud, your sins are forgiven. You might be in the same situation my friend was, where you just need someone to speak it over you. And it was interesting. I was talking to this counselor afterwards, and I said, hey, explain to me this whole why he couldn't tell me here, couldn't tell me there. And he says, you know, this is what it's like. He says, a dog doesn't want to take a dump in his own house. And out of respect for you, he doesn't want to do it at your house either. And he wants to kind of get out away from it all, and he wants to just unload this. And maybe some of you need to unload. Maybe some of you need a person that you just needed to confess that to and be done with it. And to receive the knowledge and the truth from a friend's lips. So that's really the word of Jesus is to say, your sins are forgiven. So here's what I'm going to ask. We're going to do anything you want with this. Pray. We're going to have the band come up. And as they pray, I want you to talk about these last few songs. What are you going to do with this? A lot of options. I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do, but I want to make it concrete. Some of you might need to pin it up as a reminder. Some of you might need to put it in something you wipe your feet off of every day. Some of you might need to burn it and get rid of it. Some of you might need to put it in a pocket as a reminder until you need to confess your sins to some other person. I don't know what it is for you, but I think Jesus will tell you while we sing these last three songs. Let's stand. Jesus, I want to thank you that you have made us people that were created to move. We were not created to sit. We were not created to be paralyzed. I don't even know if that's a word, Jesus. But you have made us so that we would be people that are going to bring your good word and your good news and your good example to all the people around us. Thank you for wanting to set us free. Thank you for having the power to indeed set us free. And may we celebrate that as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.